Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. England are playing that Croatia team again. Scotland are away in Israel, and Ryan Giggs is excited by his squad. Away we go! Not easy saying Ryan Giggs is.
Yeah, you wrote that yourself, though, so you should have seen it coming.
Yeah.
Learn for next time.
I think nobody noticed.
No, we've only done a couple of these shows, so it's...
Yeah, you'll get it over time.
Jim's back.
Hi.
Good to have you back, brother.
Good to be back, to a degree.
Yes. Pete's still in Zimbabwe.
Yes, he is. And if you follow our socials, at Football Ramble on Twitter and at The Football Ramble on Instagram, you can see some pictures of Pete in Zimbabwe. And I also really appreciate the way that Jim came, announced his... returns the show with a textbook Jim Campbell flippant comment. I think it's what the listeners would have wanted.
Yeah. I had a long run up at it, so I wanted to make sure I got it right.
Think about it on the plane home, were you?
Yeah. If anyone's missing, Pete, do you want to tell the listeners what you told us earlier?
What about his oven?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I forgot about that. So I was talking to Pete a week or two ago. Might have even been on the Luke and Pete show, I can't remember. And I said to Pete, when I got my kitchen done, I didn't want to change the oven, because ovens can be quite tricky and every oven's different. Yeah. And you don't want to get used to it. And we quite liked our oven, so we kept it. And he sort of professed to have no idea what I was talking about. Mm. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, oh, to be honest, I don't really use my oven. I said, why? And he went, oh, because I basically use it as a cupboard. And I said, what? And he said, I use it as a cupboard. I said, well, what's in there now? And he was like, oh, just some, I think he said some trays and some other bits and pieces.
And some chocolate.
And then he had a go at me for not appreciating just how small his flat was and how little storage he had. So the joke's on me there.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, listeners who've been listening a while will remember that we've been locked in Pete's flat before. And it is pokey.
Mm. Yeah,
maybe that's
small.
Where all the food was.
Does he use his bath as a library?
Yeah, might do, yeah. The man is an enigma. I think people think that we play up to it, but we don't.
I think if anything, we play it down.
I know that as well. I think that as well. There we go.
There we are. We're not going to play Croatia versus England down.
We're not. And Pete is back on Monday to talk about
Croatia. Sorry, if
he watches it. Yeah,
yeah, he couldn't bear the thought of missing a show when he gets a chance to talk about England in action.
And this is obviously a UEFA Nations League game.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to say it because it's going to be the elephant in the room otherwise. Are England going to get relegated straight away? Because I think we might become the first team to be in the Darren Huckabee zone.
Well, I don't know. Croatia's spanking off Spain might help us out with goal difference.
Oh, I've very much... That was warmly received.
Yeah, damn right, yeah.
Mm. But only one team can get relegated, of course.
I mean, are England's sort of quintessential mid-table side? It's ridiculous, isn't it? When, you start going through the years supporting England, you realise, I've now seen England get beaten again on a penalty shootout. I've now seen England get mugged off by a much smaller nation in a competition. And I always used to think to myself, but we'll never get relegated because that's not possible.
It is possible now. Are you in Jurgen Klopp's camp?
Because this should, he's not happy with the
UEFA Nations League. Should really be changed its name to Jurgen Klopp's UEFA Nations League, because Jim, I don't know if you saw it because you've been away. But Jurgen Klopp said when he was asked about his players being tired in the City game, he said the UEFA Nations League is the most pointless competition in the history of football.
Yeah, he's obviously unaware of the Anglo-Italian Cup.
That was great. That was great. And that wasn't international, to be fair.
Okay.
Yeah, otherwise it would just be England v Italy every time, wouldn't it?
It would be. Yeah, I think Jurgen Klopp...
I don't think we'd fare too well in that.
No.
I reckon what a spokesperson for UEFA might have said, they didn't say this, but you can imagine them saying in response, well, you shouldn't play such a high-tempo football style then.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You get tired.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know it's coming.
If you want to play heavy metal football, Jurgen, don't complain when it comes back to bite you.
Tone it down. Play some... Folk. So Black Wave or some Doom or something.
I think acoustic.
Football. Really, really tone it down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unplugged football.
Yes, football unplugged football with Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, with Jurgen Klopp.
That'd be brilliant, because it would be like when a band goes on tour. But sometimes it's like, oh no, they're on tour, but it's an unplugged tour.
Yeah,
they're doing it acoustically. Mm-hmm. Imagine if they said, we're playing Chelsea away. Yep. We're doing it acoustic. Yeah. So we're only playing...
You're not going to press. Yeah. You're going to play a deep line.
Yeah. No boots.
Yeah. No boots.
That's it. Acoustic. Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone has to wear a cardigan.
Klopp unplugged. It's all that.
And... Get growing your beard.
I know, but it would give a totally different dimension to Jurgen Klopp's tactics, and maybe we would appreciate it more.
Well, it's funny because if we're going to sort of extend this painful metaphor to its natural conclusion, mm-hmm. effectively, England are playing against Croatia in Croatia acoustically because there's going to be no fans there.
Yeah. There's going to be no fans. I'm like, that was very good, Luke.
Thanks, mate.
I'm really interested in the term behind closed doors, because I think there's probably a loophole for Croatia here, which is that there being no fans has got nothing to do with the doors. So, I mean, even if there's loads of fans there, it's behind closed doors.
It's
right?
always behind closed doors. Really.
The stadium never flings its doors open and the first 50,000 people get in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. Should it be like that? I would argue for health and safety.
Yeah, and to make a sort of semi-serious point about this, this is wrong because it punishes England as well.
Yes. Well, you're absolutely right. So England aren't allowed to take any fans.
No,
is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. That to me is nonsense. England should be able to take fans.
They can't.
I know, but you're right. It does sort of punish England as well. This is because
and just to expand on that very, very quickly. And I think I'm right. So I heard it on the radio yesterday, and I read it earlier, that England aren't allowed to take any fans at all. If you're Jadon Sancho making your debut, how disappointing is that for you? I mean, obviously he's very, very happy to play a part, if he does indeed play a part, but there's not going to be anyone there. But if he scores, no one won't be able to celebrate with the fans.
Also the fans as well. You know, like Croatia away is might be quite a good treat. I've been to Zagreb, it's quite nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to be on the road. That's a big game for England fans who travel to the likes of Andorra and Macedonia and other far-flung places. And you think, oh, come on. Or play at a neutral ground.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of the worst solutions to that problem, isn't it? Yeah, the neutral ground thing, I think.
Or England play it to get another home fixture.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be behind closed doors.
Although that's an unfair advantage.
Yeah, you're venturing into territory of giving England an advantage then, which has nothing to do with them. That's the problem. I think England fans should still be like, look, according to the BBC, there'll obviously be a few hundred people inside the ground, the media, FA officials, UEFA staff, and that kind of stuff.
So I've always wondered who those people are, because there's always some people there.
It'll just be people, official observers of the game, referees observe, all that kind of stuff.
Stewards still do a full shift.
I would get...
Well, you want to get paid, wouldn't you?
I would get fans quickly to get press accreditation, put them in, so you got all the journos singing England.
It's notoriously easy.
Yeah, it is.
But apparently, according to the BBC, though, this might be a bit of interest, quite a lot of England supporters are still going to travel. But they're just going to watch it in a bar near the ground.
They often do that. Yeah.
That's crazy. Though.
Well, there was a game years ago. I think it might have been in Macedonia. It was. I think it was that region of Europe, and England were told that the fans couldn't travel for whatever reason. And it was in the days of, you know, I think Beckham was playing in that game and perhaps scored, and maybe Albania. But I think that neck of the European woods and. England would say, you can't have any fans, but about 200 fans managed to get in the ground.
Oh, I think I might vaguely remember.
And the players went over and sort of clapped them at the end. Because you can look at that a number of ways. The fans have sort of broken the rules or the guidelines or whatever. And obviously that's not advisable. But and then on a kind of slightly impassioned kind of thing, you think, bloody hell, well done, lads. You were so desperate to support the side.
Yeah.
And I don't remember there being any crowd trouble, so I should hasten to add
no one to fight.
Yeah. No. There was the home fans.
Though. Oh, they were allowed there.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Right, okay.
And so I suppose that can cause problems. Hence, you know, you've got to be careful what you say. But when the England players went over to sort of clap them, they were criticised by saying, but you applauded fans sort of breaking the rules. And yeah, I sort of thought, well... Yes, I get that, and I'm not sort of disputing that, but at the same time, if you've got a group of people who have busted a gut and paid good money to see you play, like you're sort of a bit like, thanks, guys.
Don't be such a square.
I was about to say, I was literally about to say, deal with it, squares.
Squares.
Yeah.
But there's going to be none of that, of course.
No, and Marcus, did you say that Southgate has had the players watching a game that was played behind closed doors to prepare them.
Mm.
Was it the Barcelona game?
It was, against Las Palmas after the old Catalan referendum business. Yeah.
Will England players even be able to recognise that as the same sport, though?
No, probably
Barcelona.
Not. Yeah, I watched that game, and I either watched it or I watched extended clips of it.
There was a Champions League game, I think, in Shakhtar Leon, I think it might
be. Right, but this Barcelona game was, if it's the one I'm thinking of, was it last year?
Yeah, it was when the
had
that vote that the Spanish government didn't recognize.
It was particularly noticeable because You could hear the players talking.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
And Luis Suarez came across as the biggest like Sunday League shit
you've ever seen. I do remember that.
And I think someone had translated what he was saying in Spanish and subtitled it. I think it might even still be on YouTube. And he's literally like, having a massive pop at Messi for not passing him the ball.
But he's chipping off at defenders and
all that. Opposite defenders, all that kind of stuff.
I always find it really funny that, that when you get a comparison like that between, you know, the elite level of football and then the football that, that the likes of you and I have played and many of our listeners, I'm sure, have played. And you just think, yeah, it is that, just on a far better level. Do you know what I mean? I love that when you're reminded.
They are the worst, though, aren't they? They are the absolute worst. Yeah. Like, you just want to get stuck into those.
Of course. But it's like when I was watching a bit of that Man City, you know, behind the scenes documentary. And like Fabian Delph before the game is always going, right, effing, come on, lads.
Yeah.
Come on, all this kind of stuff. And you just think, oh, yeah. Like, why would it be different to the kind of stuff you say with you?
There was one, I can't remember the exact detail, but I'll just give an example to illustrate what I mean. There was a bit with the Suarez thing where he said something that people say in Sunday League all the time, and I think it might have been something like, don't call for the ball if you don't want it.
Sort of thing.
He was saying it to Messi.
Yeah, that's class.
It's just amazing. Gotta love that.
Absolutely love that.
What do you think of the actual game, though?
Well, speaking of Fabian Delph, he's injured, so is Jesse Lingard and Dele Alli. And I think to myself, whoa, hang on. How does Southgate line up? Because he plays Lingard and Dele Alli in that sort of two slightly advanced positions with Henderson as the pivot in a 3-5-2. I was looking at the squad and thinking to myself, in terms of the midfield, because those three players are out, and obviously Oxlade-Chamberlain's still out long-term injury and so on, if you look at some of the names in there, Harry Winks hasn't had many minutes at international level, James Maddison, Mason Mount, Luke Moore, you're in his fan club, Nathaniel Chalabar, some people saying he did pretty well to get back in there, injury problems and whatnot, and Ross Barkley. Mm. Now there's Dyer and Henderson as well. That is quite an untested midfield, and I did wonder, Will Southgate, could he be tempted to play a 4-3-3 here rather than that 3-5-2?
A lot of ex-pros, and the most recent one I've heard was Ryan Mason.
Yeah.
I worked with him a while back, and he was calling out for a back four. Do you know what? It might have even been in the middle of the World Cup. He was calling out for England to play a four to back. And I think someone else on the BBC yesterday was as well, saying that they should play a 4-3-3. They said you need extra numbers in the midfield, but a back four suits our players better. But Southgate appears to be quite dedicated to his system. And on the Chalabar thing is a little bit odd because he's played, 4 minutes of Premier League football this season. He's been very badly injured. I understand Southgate's loyalty to these young players who've come through that he wants to keep in the squad. And I just wanted to say something about Sancho and Mount particularly, because you brought up Mount there.
Yeah.
To me, it's perfectly sensible to have them in the squad. The squad is double the size of the 11 you can play, so you've got some spare spots in there for this type of thing, because you're not going away for a long time. You don't want, in a year's time, or in Euro 2020, or when you've got a vital qualifier, to have to rely on someone and bring someone in who doesn't know the setup, doesn't know the players, doesn't know the staff.
And going away from home.
Exactly. It's really important to keep those guys in there. I think it's a really sensible move from him, to, particularly with Mount and Sancho. I think Maddison deserves it on merit anyway. He's a bit older. He's come up through the leagues. And so I think he deserves it on merit. But the other guys, it's perhaps a bit early for them, maybe. Although Andy Brassel says no with Sancho.
I think he's perfect for him. Well, Jim, I think with this as well, just carrying on from Luke's point there, is that also it gives young players a bit of a taste of the biscuit, you know, and they think, right, that's something to aim for and try and to achieve. And also, with the good mood that there's a lot been made of it around the England camp, maybe in previous England camps, as a young lad like Jadon Sancho would go away and think, they were all cliques, nobody really talked to me. I mean, obviously I want to play for England, but that wasn't brilliant. Whereas if you go along and it's a happy camp.
A few of you.
Yeah, exactly. Another good point, yeah. You think to yourself, blimey, I want a bit more of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a balance to be struck, isn't there? Because, you know, the game against Croatia in the World Cup was very much lost in the midfield. Croatia's midfield. Obviously, they probably had the most cohesive midfield at the tournament, but they just dominated it. They just had so much more of the ball. So
it really exposed England's.
It did. So that's failings, something that Southgate's going to have to address. And obviously, Sancho plays further up, but you know the three of those younger players coming in, they all play in the midfield. So I wonder if he might be quite conservative. And obviously, I would think Henderson will start. Maybe he'll go with Dyer and Winks, and maybe Barkley is a more attacking option. But I think he's going to have to try and shore it up more than having Alli and Lingard in as he normally would.
I think Barkley, by the way, before I say this, England are 19-10 to beat Croatia. So £10 with Bet365 returns £29, including a stake, should they pick up a win. Barkley's an interesting player we haven't mentioned yet. I think Barkley's got a chance of playing. I don't know if Dyer will play. I think Barkley might.
Well, my feeling would be is,
and if he does, it might be a 4-3-3.
Yeah. So with a 3-5-2, you know who the back three and the wing backs would be. You'd know who the two strikers are. It's that midfield. Do you go Dyer at the base and then Henderson and maybe Barkley in an advanced position? You could do that. I just wonder if he may go for a back four, because now we've seen the emergence of Joe Gomez. We think Stones is, you know, decent centre half, and so is Maguire. So you've got those three. Mm. Your fullbacks, you know, take your pick, really. I think we're happy with Trippier or Walker on the right, and on the left, maybe Ben Chilwell, perhaps,
Rose
or Danny Rose. Danny
Rose is playing well again now.
Yeah, it's probably Danny Rose. And then in that midfield, just to kind of shore it up or whatever, you could have Dyer and Henderson. Some people might think that's a bit boring. You could have Dyer and Winks. I don't know. There's a combo to be had there. Maybe Barkley in that advanced position, because he's been getting a bit of time at Chelsea as well, under Sarri and so on. Up front, you probably have Kane. And then you have the option of two wingers. You could have Sterling. And it's not ridiculous to say that he could start Sancho.
Is it something like 6 assists in 7 games?
Yeah, he's coming off the bench a lot, but he started back-to-back games recently.
Basically, every time he plays, he assists something.
Yeah.
So, however many games he's played, he's probably got the same amount.
He's a weapon. He's an absolute weapon for Dortmund. So it is quite interesting.
The only fly in that ointment there that you suggested is that Barkley is coming to the four again, but he's playing in a three. Hmm. He's playing alongside Jorginho and Kante when he plays.
Yeah. And so, you're saying Dyer and Winks are not?
Well, I'm just saying that you perhaps might want to get Henderson in there and Barkley to the side of him, and then someone else. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
But I understand, if I'm the England manager, I can't just say that.
Yeah.
I have Henderson, just Barkley, and someone else.
I mean, to be fair, when you put it like that and you said, but the thing is, at Chelsea, he's getting minutes, but he's got Jorginho and Kante in there. You go, that does make it easy for him.
He does, definitely.
And Hazard just in front.
Even so, though, the principle is the same, isn't it? He has a screen.
Yeah.
Effectively.
Yeah,
or a double screen. And I think that's probably the way to go for England.
And I've become one of the best people in the world at detecting when Marcus is getting the fever.
He's
sat next to me quite a long time now. And I've detected a bit of the fever, talking about the England team there. So I feel like I should say England are 16-1 to win.
The UEFA Nations League.
The inaugural UEFA Nations League outright. Yeah. £10 with Bet365 returns £170, including stake. Hmm. There we go.
Excellent. Sorry, you just stunned me there. I was just suddenly thinking of UEFA Nations League glory.
You're overcome by the fever. It's understandable.
It's fine. It's back. It is back indeed. Yes. Jordan Pickford, he'll probably start as number one, you would expect.
Yeah.
Jim.
Get the rave on.
Even though... Forgot about that. Even though Marcus Bettinelli's in there, it's nice to have another Marcus in there.
It's always nice. There were two Marcuses, two Marci.
Indeed. We're taking over.
It's like, you know when they say that fact about Man United, they've never not had a youth team prospect in the match day squad since like 1934 or something. But England should never have a squad without a Marcus in there.
Yeah. Well, I think, are we equal with the Harrys?
Yeah, we might be.
Might be two.
Harry Kane, Harry Winks.
Yeah, that's it.
Harry Maguire, there's three.
Yeah. I knew we were still lagging behind the Harrys.
Harry Stones. Harry Gomez.
Harry Styles.
Harry Lewis Dunk.
Yeah. Harry Sterling.
Uh-huh. Harry Sancho. So Jordan Pickford, he was
Harry
talking...
Use his proper name, Harry Pickford.
Old Hazza Pickford was talking recently in an interview about how his life had changed since the World Cup. He said the first thing he'd noticed was that his followers on social media had gone through the roof. And I thought, oh my God, what a millennial thing to say.
Do you know who he reminds me of, Pickford? He reminds me a bit of Beefy.
Jordan Bennett, you're going to have to explain Beefy to some of the listeners.
Oh, he's like a YouTube meme of a guy who does a bit of beatboxing.
I can't believe you've mentioned that.
Why? He looks a bit like him.
Yeah.
Don't you think, Jim?
I do, yeah.
People can YouTube favorite. Beefy if they want. Yeah. They can find it out for themselves.
Beefy. Just type in Beefy to YouTube and you'll get it.
And the issue I have with Pickford...
He's got more control of his jaw than Beefy.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, get the rave on. Well, look, with Pickford, the one thing that I think he deserves to be criticised for is that he puts Get the Rave On his boots, right?
Mm. And looks
apparently,
like Beefy.
Apparently, he celebrates by signing for Everton by going to Nando's. Practice what you preach. Can't have a quiet table in Nando's and have Get the Rave On your boots.
Get down some field.
Yeah.
But do you not think, though, when he said going to Nando's, I suddenly thought to myself, is it because the footballers always go to Nando's, don't they?
Yeah,
lean protein.
Yeah, because it feels like fast food, but if you order the right thing, it's not that unhealthy.
And also, you get the little joy of feeling that you've done a runner. Because
you've already paid up front. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Actually, I was in Nando's with a friend of mine a little while ago, and he took the absolute elite Nando's move, which was that we seated ourselves. Didn't even wait. We just sat down ourselves, went up.
You will feel like
I reckon Pickford
like
does
a
that.
Renegade.
I reckon Pickford does that.
He's probably got his own seat.
There used to be a Nando's black car, but they stopped.
Is that
it.
A myth, though?
No, because apparently
David Beckham had one famously.
Apparently Rick Edwards had one.
Did he?
For a while, yeah. But he said that what people used to do, the reason he thinks people stopped it, and now it might have sort of descended into this myth type thing, but it did exist, is because it was everything was free. So what people were doing, who had one, was taking all their pals to Nando's and getting really drunk for free, eating as much food as they wanted. And I think what they should have probably done is just cut the alcohol out of it and just let you have the food. But I think they stopped it completely. Ask Jordan Pickford, he'll tell you.
Yeah, if you're in a position where you can have a Nando's black card, you don't need to behave like that.
No. You're taking advantage.
Mm. This is why we'll never have one. So done, Toby Anstis, or whoever's let us down.
Rick Edwards. It's Pete's mate. Don't get out of order.
David Beckham.
Yeah.
Could be Bex's fault. All right, before we go to an ad break, let's quickly dip back into club football if we want, because Aston Villa have got a new manager.
Got a new assistant manager as well.
Well, Jim. And Big John Tezza.
And the...
you can't keep a good man down, as Luke often says.
You can't. I find this quite interesting, purely because Aston Villa got a bit of money now, of course, part of a company with Steve Bruce. Ever since Steve Bruce left, they spent every waking minute trying to get managers that weren't interested.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
Thierry Henry might have been.
Wow.
Fair to say that when Monaco came along, he was like, no, I'm not going to take your calls anymore.
But then the whole time, Dean Smith, who's an Aston Villa fan... But he wasn't. I mean, obviously, he was respectful because he was working at Brentford and he's done a good job.
He has, yeah.
He wasn't. He wasn't sort of outwardly saying it. He was just, I'm here if you want me. And eventually, they just said, yeah, fine. All right, where have you now then? It probably feels like he was about sixth choice.
At least, yeah.
What a bizarre way to get a job. It's like you hear about it being in the past. You just walk down the local factory and go, "You got any jobs?" And they go, "Yes."
Yeah. Yeah.
This is your job for 50 years now.
And Aston Villa is a football factory,
isn't
Jim.
It?
Well, I think though that yes, you're absolutely right. He may feel a bit sort of mugged off, but then on another you know side of the coin, he might think, well, I really wanted the job, and now I've got it.
Yeah. I wish him all the very best. He's done a great job at Brentford, worked with some good players, started the season very well. It's a huge job for him, and of course the pressure will come along with the fact that he's supported the club since he was a boy. Mm. So good luck to him, I say.
Well, I mean, the
good
fans luck, have been forced into throwing cabbages.
Exactly.
One fan.
Yeah, well, one.
Well, there might have been a conglomerate.
One deplorable individual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he had no choice, mate. That's what the club had driven him to.
Give him a Nando's black card.
That's what this club has become, is what he said.
Indeed,
doesn't make any sense.
And this is what this podcast has become. but let's go to a quick ad break, and after which we're going to be talking about Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Jose Mourinho, the man who stole the show. You're the special one and you're dynamo. Whoa, whoa.
Still in a job.
I because this is Pete's playout system. Obviously, Pete's not here, so I'm doing it. I just picked that one at random.
Yes.
And because obviously he doesn't mark them. That one was called ID1, so it could be anything. I just pressed it, and we had quite a good result there.
We did have a good result.
I'm pleased
there.
To hear that.
Nice one. Excellent stuff. Right, before we talk more international football, let's go to the emails with Jimmy Campbell.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
What's going on, Jim?
Well, I've got some emails.
Good.
Hi, Ramblers, begins the first one, somewhat traditionally.
If you've got anything about you at all, you'll use this to settle an array of
personal
grievances.
I was going to say, this could be interesting.
No, you know, I haven't actually done that.
You're not sunk to Pete Dancer's level. Good for you.
For some reason, it was quite light on beef.
Was it?
In the emails section this week. Maybe that's because they know Pete's away.
We've been heavy on beefy.
Yeah, beefy is so. Everyone wants a piece of the best bet, don't they? Emails is just full of the best bets.
It largely is, yeah. So do get in touch with stuff that's not about that as well. So hi, Ramblers. Just wanted to mention that not only did I not skip the Going for Gold theme tune when it first appeared in full on the Rice and Ham episode, but since then I have specifically sought out that section of the pod to listen to it repeatedly. It is impossible not to enjoy Marcus calling Pete a slug as the music modulates yet again. Does the man who performed it have any other hits we should know about? Well, that's from Charlotte Clark. And interestingly, and unbelievably, it's actually by Hans Zimmer, wasn't it? He's a very famous
composer
and does a lot of movie scores. So he's done the Dark Knight trilogy, Gladiator, Cool Runnings, one of Michael Owen's least favourite movies, mm-hmm. and also
Going for Gold,
and also Taffin.
Hans Zimmer said he was asked about the because I think a lot of people started to think it was an urban myth.
Yeah,
and so someone interviewed him and asked him about it, and he said, "Going for Gold, I'm not ashamed of it. It paid the rent and opened up all sorts of doors. I'll admit to it. We all have our little guilty somethings."
Love that. But yeah, Jim, great. What goes on in Hans Zimmer's career is none of your business.
well, I'm on this podcast. It is.
Maybe you shouldn't be composing here.
For those Taffin fans out there.
Yes.
Which is everyone, right?
Yeah. Absolutely everyone.
You either love Taffin or you don't know about
Taffin
it.
For the win.
That's awesome. Another YouTube search. Yeah, Beefy then Taffin.
Blow me,
Pete is going to lose his mind. Or he would if he ever listened.
Yeah. Or had a mind.
Yeah, or had a mind. Right. Tristan Renville has been in touch, and you won't be surprised to learn that he lives in Brighton. Dear Ramble, I've always loved the show. It's one of the highlights of my week, although I'm not sure what that says about my weeks. I just wanted to share a couple of things. Firstly, does every commentator and pundit/ex-player have some sort of brain defect in that they are unable to pronounce Roberto Firmino properly? It's no at the end, not EO.
It happens everywhere.
It annoys me as well. Yeah. God, it pisses me off. It's not difficult, and it's currently my numero uno pet peeve in football. It's right, because if it was Firmino, that would mean, little firm.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's Firmino. It's a different
Well, the thing that annoys me about it...
Because he's Brazilian.
I don't think it's a shocking error.
No, I'm taking it up a notch. Yeah. I'll tell you why, because people don't just call him Roberto Firmino, which is wrong. They call him Bobby Firmino, which means that they like him so much they want to shorten his name, but they won't even take the time to learn his name properly.
Yeah,
Marcus, it's unacceptable. I know you're on shaky ground here because you're a bit insecure about pronunciation of Firmino.
No, I'm fine with Firmino. I'm just saying that in the grand scheme of things, if someone calls Firmino,
Don't discourage emails. Yeah. We're trying our best to get as many as we can.
Stop being a knob.
Who was that from, Jim?
I think certain people should have tried harder in school.
Who was that from, Jim?
It's from Tristan Renville in Brighton.
Tristan Renville.
He's got another point, though.
Renvino.
Let's see what old Renino has got to say.
Secondly, in regards to last week, Luke said that the humble potato is most definitely not a vegetable but a tuber. This is incorrect.
They are not mutually exclusive.
The potato is most certainly a tuberous crop, but botanically speaking, it's a vegetable.
You on board with him now, are you?
Unfortunately for everyone in the country, nutritionally, it counts as a starch/starchy
food. But you've got to say a Renner's now.
I'm flying it back right in his face, and I'm taking him on and saying, actually, if you want to get technical about it and do the categorisation of that kind of stuff, vegetables don't exist. The same way that fish doesn't exist.
There's no
section for them in the animal kingdom.
Fish do exist. I used to have one.
Yeah, but... What was it called? Tristan.
Tristan.
I mean, Tristan probably runs a vegan aquarium down in Brighton, so he'll know.
Tristan, you and I are going to take this offline, mate.
All right.
Should I say, what do posh people call each other? Pal, I don't know, pal, whatever. No, not pal.
I don't know, they just
make noise.
Tristan Renville. Crony.
I'm fairly certain that Tristan Renville is the MP for like Richmond or something. No, that's Zach Goldsmith, isn't it? All right, forget it, carry on.
Quite different.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Maybe it's quite similar though in some ways.
Yeah. Sam from Newcastle's also been in touch.
Yes.
Hi Pete, he begins wrongly. As a 23-year-old Geordie, my appreciation of the Entertainers era is limited to grainy YouTube footage and my balding father's fond memories. That's such an unnecessary detail. Yeah. Fond memories of how luscious David Ginola's locks used to look from the Gallagher end. You can therefore probably imagine my despair on Thursday afternoon when a colleague who had popped in to cover my break announced that I'd missed the appearance in our office of none other than 70s pop star and friend of the Ramble, Kevin Keegan.
Oh my goody.
More on him later.
Yeah, dejected, I wandered out into Leicester Square to look for some food, only to bump into King Kev himself.
Whoa.
Mr. Keegan was impeccably polite as I talked frantically at him about the current state of the club, Mike Ashley's pizza party and the sale of Alexander Mitrovic, and happily posed for a picture with me. And I damn near wept when in doing so, he whispered, two Geordie boys together.
That's lovely.
As he made his excuses afterwards and set off into the afternoon, I shouted after him, Ashley out. He turned back and called back, I reckon there are 300,000 Geordies who agree with you there. He was a proper bloke and provided a welcome reminder of finer times, and I reckon if we had been able to hold on to a win at Old Trafford on Saturday, he would have loved it.
And then a cyclist went into him.
Yeah, there we go.
Come on.
Fell down a manhole, etc.
That's outrageous. Yeah,
I mean, to be fair, Keggy is from Doncaster, isn't it?
Exactly. So
he's another fake Geordie, like our own
Like
Donaldson.
But we've got more.
Adopted son. Look,
there will be a section in the show to have a laugh at Keggy, and you know it's coming up.
Yeah, so he's going already.
Don't speak out of turn. He's obviously been a gentleman there.
I know, yeah. I'm the only one here who's met him.
You've met the man.
And I know that he's a gentleman as well. We got him famously.
Yeah.
All right then.
He doesn't remember you.
Oh dear. Well, there we are. Thank you very much for your emails.
Yes.
Appreciate that.
Show at thefootballramble.com, sorry, to get in touch. It would be Pete next week, I suppose, won't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
You might as well just chuck
not
a bottle.
Not bother. Yeah.
There we are. All right then. Let's go back to that Nations League. Israel play Scotland. Scotland are top of their group after beating Albania 2-0. Lee Griffiths has opted out of the Scotland squad to work on his fitness. That's one of the sort of bigger stories up there. His Celtic teammate Scott Brown supported Griffiths with this decision, saying it was a wise thing to do because he was saying he wished he'd done such a thing. And it's an interesting one, that.
Has he been out with an injury or something?
When you look at the forwards that Scotland are left with, Stephen Naismith, he's got a few goals, but he scored against Albania in the 2-0 win. You've got Oliver McBurney of Swansea and then Johnny Russell of Sporting Kansas City, and you think, well, they are a little bit short without Griffiths up there. But then I suppose he's trying to think of the long-term picture. I can understand that will potentially annoy some.
As far as I know, though, Mark, he's played quite a lot for Celtic. He hasn't scored. Yeah. He hasn't been among the goals. Has he not had a pre-season or something? He's been injured in pre-season? He's only 28. It's not like he's old.
Yeah.
And maybe he's got a decent amount of miles on the clock, I suppose. Scotland have got a really big opportunity here.
I know, yeah.
They won the first game, of course. They're in League C, aren't they?
They are in League C, yeah.
And Group 1. And if they go away to Israel, it's in Israel, isn't it? If they win that game, really good chance of getting up into League B, where they could play
Old England.
There we go.
Well, Israel have a pretty poor home record in competitive games as well, so it's a real, real chance.
Wales and Northern Ireland, I believe they're in group, I get so confused. They're in League B.
Yeah, they are.
They're in League B. So Scotland,
Wales with Denmark and Ireland.
Yes, yeah,
so Northern Ireland with Bosnia and Austria, all in League B.
In League B, yeah. And so Scotland, if they get in there, improves your coefficient, all that kind of stuff
for your Euro qualifiers and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so you're right. They do have an opportunity. Yeah, and then they play Portugal in a friendly on Sunday.
The Scotland are 17-10 with Bet365 to beat Israel. So £10 returns £27, including stake, if McLeish's men do the business.
McLeish's men. What about Giggs's guys? Wales play Spain. I say Gareth's guys as well. Maybe I think of something else for Ryan's Renegades. But Wales play Spain tonight in a friendly.
Giggsy's gubbers.
Could be.
Could work both ways.
Indeed, it could be. Were they the gubbed or the gubbies?
Yeah.
No, the gubbers or the gubbies. Gubbies, yeah. Giggs said that Gareth Bale is not fit to play Spain. There's a 50-50% chance against Ireland. Now, of course, Spain is a friendly. And Ireland is in the UEFA Nations League, so that's the more important game. Yeah. But Giggs, he's expressed excitement at the younger players in his Wales squad. Ampadu, Wilson, Bournemouth midfielder David Brooks, who played very well the other week. Of course, we were talking about him. And a few others have impressed Giggs of late as well. He described Ampadu as a manager's dream.
He's really highly rated and he wants to play football. I think he had an opportunity, Ethan and Ampadu, to go away in the summer somewhere, but he wanted to stay and fight for his place. He had an injury at a difficult time. He's getting into the situation now where he's playing more for Wales than he is for Chelsea, which is obviously not ideal. Wales have got some great young players coming through. He's definitely one of them. Matthew Smith, who's been called up, who's been playing on loan at Twente from Man City, very highly rated.
David Brooks,
we know all about, fantastic football player, is only going to get better as well.
Giggs said that it reminds him, some of these youngsters coming through together, reminds him a little bit of the Manchester United class of 92. And I thought to myself, is that because Robbie Savage isn't playing for Wales anymore?
Robbie Savage will be saying 20 years' time that he played for this. You've got Ben Woodburn as well and Tyler Roberts, two young forwards who look decent too.
Exciting. Well, Ashley Williams has been saying, hasn't he, that he thinks it's the best squad of players they've ever had since he's been playing for Wales, which is interesting given that they got to the semis of Euro 2016. And also that now when they turn up to training, they know that they have to be playing for their clubs, they have to be playing well, and that training is going to be tough, and it hasn't always been like that. And the level is higher than it's ever been.
Well, Ryan Giggs hasn't always turned up.
Well, yeah.
And you've got to remember that as well.
Is he not going to turn up for the friendly?
It's an old joke, isn't it? I reckon, like,
it has to be done.
Teenage listeners to our show probably think that's such a dad joke, but I still like it.
No, but I mean, that joke should be made for every friendly he didn't turn up to as a player. So you probably get about 70 of those before it runs out.
Could have, and people who are listening who are too young to have seen Giggs play, and they probably are out there, just so you know, a bit of context, Ryan Giggs could have had 500 caps for Wales, and he's only got about 60 in
there. He's only got about 60. Ashley William and Wayne Hennessy, I think I'm right in saying, are the only over 30s in the whole squad.
So encouraging.
It shows you
I wonder whether, because this idea of the clubs in England, and it not always clubs in England, but it is mostly clubs in England, bringing this new generation of talent through, which we've seen in England, it's obviously knocking across to places like Wales, Scotland, Ireland, because we're so close geographically and culturally. So, of course, if you're the kid who's gone from Liverpool on loan to Derby, is it Harry Wilson?
Yeah.
You've come up through at Liverpool, but you are Welsh. Of course you're going to represent Wales. Doesn't mean you're not going to benefit from clubs and academies and that kind of stuff. And we are now seeing a whole new generation across the UK of young players coming through. And I can't, certainly since we've done this show, and you guys might disagree because you might remember differently, I don't think we've seen more exciting young British players coming through. Well, it seems to be an endless conveyor belt.
Well, there's an interesting stat on this. I don't know if it really counts as a stat, but I read this week, that Chelsea's academy has helped develop 19 of the 128 players that are representing England over this round of fixtures, from under-17s right up to the senior team, which is more than anyone else. And, like, I mean, they get criticised a lot for how many players they loan out, but it's starting to bear fruit.
That is an interesting thing, Jim. Yeah, I didn't think of it like that. I mean, I think your point there, Luke, is probably correct for England and Wales, if you to be slightly more narrow. I'm not sure in Scotland or in Northern Ireland what's happening there. But then, but you're right in saying British.
Well, fans of the Irish national team will say, you know, we're in a bit of a state at the moment. We've not got you know, good quality players coming through. But if you look at Scotland, I mean, Scott McTominay's in the squad. You know, Andrew Robertson's a captain. He's only 24. Scott McKenna, Aberdeen, highly rated. Okay. Kieran Turner, he's really highly rated.
Yeah.
There are some players in there. You know, Alan McGregor.
Nasey,
exactly. Nasey's playing the hole for Everton not too long ago.
There you go, you see. Ireland are playing Denmark at home. That fixture again. Denmark had a lovely time in Ireland, of course, during their World Cup playoff. Eriksen was superb that day, but he's out injured this time.
Mm. Yeah.
He's out injured. What I quite enjoyed hearing is that apparently Harry Arter has cleared the air with Roy Keane and is back in the squad. That sounds like a trap to me.
Yeah,
it's fine. Yeah. Like, all forgot about it. All forgot. You come back in here.
Yeah.
Right, what are the, I'm back here. Yeah. What are the teams for the five-a-side today? Is Roy Keane on the other team, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
All right. Yeah. I know.
We all heard that leaked conversation, but obviously it's an alleged incident, and we don't know what's true and what isn't. But the way that Roy Keane was being described by someone else there, it was remarkable. Let me just say, it was remarkable. Going into, like, the physio room saying, smarten yourself up, you're a disgrace. Like, I've pulled my hamstring. I've got a torn hamstring. You should be training.
Yeah. We'll mend it.
I'll run it off.
I'll stitch it up myself. Come over here.
I absolutely love it. Yeah.
I mean, it's I know it's probably too much to say that this Ireland v Denmark is a rivalry, but they've played each other quite a lot.
Yeah.
You know, famously ahead of the World Cup, where Denmark came out victorious. The draw in this one is 2-1 with Bet365. £10 returns, £30 including stake. I imagine Martin O'Neill will be looking for a bit of a reaction from his team, because they've been in fairly poor form, haven't they?
Yeah, and I mean, a Denmark playing the kids this time again, or the amateurs, or whatever they do. Yeah.
Apparently they've sorted all that out.
I know, eh? They sorted it out a little while ago. If you were Irish, you were thinking, can't you have another argument?
Yeah.
Can't you give us the points?
Leaking documents. Saying, they're having a dispute again.
Yeah, indeed. Austria are playing Northern Ireland. Both of these sides need a win, as Bosnia-Herzegovina are top of that group with 6 points. Northern Ireland will still be ruining that game in Belfast. Yeah. Against Bosnia-Herzegovina, because they should have got something out of it.
They had so many shots.
I know, it was such a shame seeing that game, and now they're away in Austria, they need a result, and Austria need a result as well, because again, we talk about that kind of relegation thing. Bosnia-Herzegovina are handsomely topped with 6 points, as we say, and Northern Ireland go away to Bosnia Herzegovina on Monday. You'd expect all the attention at the moment to be on Marko Arnautović in this game. Media attention and the attention of the tactics of the Northern Irish defenders.
Yeah.
Well, he's one of, if not the senior pro in the Austria squad now.
Yeah.
A lot of caps.
They've got a few players, but yeah, he's definitely one of them.
Enjoying his football at West Ham, of course, and having the sort of forward line, to an extent, built around him, which I think he definitely feels like he needs. I haven't seen enough of Austria recently to know if they do that, but he's definitely the most experienced forward they've got.
But then he's coming up against two reasonably experienced players in Johnny Evans.
Yeah,
I'd imagine Johnny Evans will start, unless there's some sort of injury that's happened. And you never know with international football, do you? Oh, injury, he got something in training.
Back to Giggsy again.
And then Craig Cathcart, because they both started the last game. And Cathcart's done, you know, he's having an all right time for Watford, isn't he? Hmm. So they will be, if they go with Arnautović right up top, you know, as you say, depending on how they use him. But that'll be an interesting game. I hope Northern Ireland win, because as I say, so unlucky against Edin Dzeko's lot. But there we are. All right, Luke, what is our best bet? Bet 365.
Our best bet comes from Mark Eastwood today, who says, afternoon, chaps. As a colleague of Andy, so near yet so far, Duncan, I feel it is my solemn duty to take up the best bet mantle and see if I can go one step further and bring home that elusive ORE. So what better place to start my quest than with the confusing world of an international break? Convenient injuries, in quotes, post-World Cup fatigue, experimental lineups, what could possibly go wrong? But if there's been one trustworthy constant in all our lives this year, it's been Gareth bloody Southgate.
Damn right. Mm.
That's why I've got to keep faith in Gareth's guys, speller 2018, and back us to vanquish the painful semi-final memories and remind us all of those golden summer months by getting a win over Croatia. It's funny because Mark seems to think that if he can have some sort of effect on this result.
Yeah,
by saying this, but you know,
also I think this is a big move around the office, by the way.
I know it is. Yeah, exactly. With the added confusion of a behind closed doors game, I expect Croatia to start strongly, but England to fight their way back into it. That's why I've plucked England to win and both teams to score out of the bag, which is currently priced at 11-2 on Bet365, meaning a £50 bet will return £325. Come on, Gareth, celebrate that new contract by getting our UEFA Nations League campaign back on track and winning some money for a very worthy cause. Keep up the good work, Mark Eastwood. So England to win and both teams to score is indeed 11-2 on Bet365, meaning a £50 bet returns £325, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, go to begambleaware.org. All the best, Mark. We're pulling for you.
Go on, Marky, baby.
And we're pulling for Southgate's steeds as well.
studs
Southgate studs, yeah, as well.
definitely right. In the absence of going for Glold, Luke, what have you prepared for us?
I've thought, well, we talked about Kevin Keegan earlier.
We did,
didn't we?
Well, and since then you've come up with something.
No, I had it planned.
Oh, did you?
I had it planned. I told you there's a Kevin Keegan section coming up. Yep. We don't have Pete, so there's no going for Glold, but what I'll do is I'll do a little Kevin Keegan based quiz.
Oh man.
And the winner out of you two can get a point on the board. I know I can't get a point, and nor can Pete, because he's not here, but
do
that's
you,
okay.
Do you get points for laughter?
Yeah, but, well, no, you don't.
Oh,
no,
nearly.
No. I'm still going to use the jingle though. If I can press it. There we go. So, here's on
I hope you haven't pressed the full version.
It could be the full version. I'm just
who knows?
The
people come in, everyone's trying
to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high, we're all going for Keegan.
Thank goodness for that.
There we go. So what I'm going to do, chaps, I've got six quotes here. Three each. Three for you, Jim. Three for you, Marcus. And I'm going to read you the quote in turn. Mm-hmm. And I want you to tell me whether it's an extract from Kevin Keegan's new book or it's a quote from Katie Price, aka Jordan.
Okay.
So, and the winner at the end gets a point, all right?
So they're pitched to each of us. We're not.
Yeah, you get one each. Okay. I'll go back.
Does this go towards the going for Glold?
Yeah, it does. I told you.
Oh, sorry. You just mentioned.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, you're not listening to me. It's just Kevin Keegan.
You just said Kevin Keegan and I lost it.
Yeah, you've gone into one of your fugues. Yeah.
Right. Okay, Marcus, you're going to go first, okay?
Oh, no.
So here's the quote.
Yeah.
And you need to tell me, just to be clear, if it's from Kevin Keegan's new book or it's a quote from Katie Price, who's also known as Jordan.
Yes.
Okay. I came up against a wall of incompetence, deceit, and arrogance. You really couldn't make up some of the things that happened.
That's Kevin Keegan.
Is it Kevin Keegan? Correct, it is Kevin Keegan.
Yes.
You're right. What I need is like one of those things where I can give you a thing for a right answer. What about...
Have a go with the buttons.
Don't play the whole thing, Pete.
Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete?
Oh, it's a WhatsApp group.
It's a WhatsApp group. Have you got a little jingle for that?
No, I haven't got a jingle. No, we haven't got a jingle.
For God's sake! What's this one?
Hi, I'm Kevin Keegan.
Yes,
and you're
right.
To the Football Ramble.
So if you get one right, if you get it right, I'm going to give you that thing. Right, so Marcus, you're one up, okay?
All right.
I should have planned this before, but right, Jim, ready?
You're getting Pete's legacy just sort of through sort of. What am I trying to say? Osmosis from the thing comes through and
there we go.
Struggling.
Just press the button.
Yeah.
Jim, ready? Some of these are quite curveball-y, so just bear that in mind, okay? Our wedding tent was made of plastic. It was disappointing because it looked like it had come straight out of a B&Q flat pack.
Oh, man, that is a tough one. That is a tough one.
I'm going to go Jordan.
All right, let's find out. Yes, it was Jordan. Yeah, there we go. There
well,
we go.
Well played.
So, Marcus, you're up next, okay? Right. Ready?
Sorry, where's the keggy?
I haven't. No, you only get a keggy if it's a keggy.
All right, I see.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? That's very confusing, but listeners can keep up. Right. Marcus, you ready?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with the media, the red tops, the ones who can be loyal, when I say loyal, it's a game. This is a game we're in. If it's your time to get picked on, then you get picked on. And you know, I'm used to that.
That's Jordan.
Correct, it is Jordan. This is easier than I thought.
No, it's ultimately a guess, but the first one I knew was Keegan.
All right, Jim, you're up. Ready? Tabloid hacks were dispatched to find out if there was another reason why I was down some lover's lane.
Oh, come on. Peggy.
Hi, I'm Kevin Keegan, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Correct, it's
anyone,
too old.
Yeah, if anyone doesn't know the story, that's from the time he was hit with a baseball bat and a label.
That's not funny. That's not funny, though, is it?
Just someone reporting what happened.
Yeah, you can't laugh at that.
No.
Okay, Marcus, you're up. If it's a draw, you both get a point. I was sick of them. Sick of the way they were riding roughshod over me. Sick of being treated like dirt.
Oh, that's... Ooh. I think that's Keegan.
You sure?
Yeah.
Yes! You're listening to the Football Ramble.
Right,
get
Jim,
in there!
You need to get this one right.
Sudden death, Jimmy.
I mean, the thing is, I will confess now, I did sort of make Jim's a lot easier than Marcus, because I thought Marcus would get some wrong. So this one might be a bit easier.
Okay.
Don't do that, I will love it.
It's got to be, got to be.
Ready? Are you ready for this?
I am.
Okay. It wasn't Mike's beer guzzling that upset me.
Off.
Yeah,
it's Keggy, isn't it?
Hi, I'm Kevin.
There we go.
And you're listening to the Football.
You both get a point. What about that?
Yeah.
Hey?
Well, I'll tell you, you've mugged yourself off because now we're a point ahead of you, and
it evens out.
It will even itself out. Yeah. Keegan or Jordan? I mean, it mostly was Keegan.
There, Harry Redknapp used to manage Jordan, didn't he? Oh, different Jordan. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Bet365. I think we just proved that it's not easy working the buttons, and maybe we should give Pete a bit more slack. Although he's made it difficult.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, set trap.
I think we've also found out that Kevin Keegan and Jordan aren't that similar.
No.
Yeah. Not as similar as I thought they would be.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Oh, a little nugget for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Do be across the Ramble socials for tonight's match in Cardiff, Wales versus Spain, because Andy Brassel's there.
With cameraman Sam.
With cameraman Sam. So get yourselves across there, because there'll be some photos, interesting little nuggets from the game in Cardiff.
Behind the scenes tonight. Stuff.
Behind the scenes.
Well, that's what cameraman Sam's promised. If he doesn't deliver, he's going to be in trouble.
We might be in a patriotic fever. Just forget to do it.
Yeah.
He might be, actually, yeah. Famous Welshman cameraman Sam.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. As I say, we'll be back on Monday. Pete will be here, all four of us, including Jim, Luke and myself. Of course, say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye.
Shut up.
And thank you very much to the listeners for listening. It's goodbye from me too. See you on Monday.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.